Hello and welcome to Rule of Carnage. This might be a podcast or it might be a video, depending on the technology that you're consuming it on. My name's Mike. I design miniature games. This chap with me is Glenn. He also designs miniature games. And together we are continuing our potentially never ending series of conversations about designing better miniature games. I was reading a book about games recently, as I am wont to do. Called Seven Games. Don't ask me to recount the name of the author because I've temporarily forgotten it. It's about seven classic games, and it goes into their history and takes a rather specific interest in their digitization and whether or not AI can beat them. Anyway, I didn't know that Checkers, which is a game that I played as a kid but discarded quite early on as assuming it was only as simple as tic-tac-toe and never really thought about it again. Turns out it has a very serious, or had a very serious competitive scene, particularly in the sort of 60s, 70s, 80s. And one thing I didn't know about competitive checkers is that they have a deck of random setups, as it were. So you lay out the standard checkers setup that we're all used to playing as from kids. And then there's a deck of cards, each which contains three moves, which then the game robotically completes. And then the actual game starts from that moment onwards. And there is some number, like 180 or something, potential triple move openings. And the official Checkers League of Justice or whatever has eliminated 20 of them as either too boring and always ending in draws, or too heavily weighted to one player or the other. And so what you're left with is about 156 random checkers setups rather. And that is, sometimes they're going to be fairly even and sometimes they're going to be fairly sharply weighted in one player's favor or another. But because checkers tournaments are played over a pretty substantial number of games of checkers, it sort of is intended to even out. But what it got me thinking about, because I was super surprised by that, but it's delightful and I love it, is the degree to which we include or can include random setups in tabletop miniature games. And I suppose I am a little bit specifically interested in this because I'm quite drawn to these. You'll see procedural setups in A Billion Suns. You'll see procedural setups in the forthcoming or currently kickstarting Hobgoblin. I kind of am intrigued by them because I've always been intrigued by random scenario generation. And I like procedural things and roguelike games and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's the topic, I think, is what can random setups do for your games, and when to include them, or when they might be valuable, or when they might be damaging?
Yeah, it's funny because for other reasons, a couple of weeks ago, I sat down and ran through how many different setups were available in the Malifaux second edition setup system, and I expected it to be a largish number, but I remember looking at this, it is a bizarrely large number because it's sort of quite explosive, because you've got the multiple decks, and once you consider the schemes plus the deployment zone plus the location setup, plus if you go through the whole, like, you know, the way you're meant to set up a game of Malifaux in that, there is an insane number of setups, to the point where, and I'm not, like, by any way denigrating the level of playtesting that probably went into Malifaux, there's no way they tested all of those setups.
There's no possible way.
Possible, sane, reasonable way that they tested everything. And I think...
That's clearly the first negative, is, like, the more complexity and random options you put in, the less likely it is that you've seen everything. But, of course, there's a lot of diminishing returns there once you've seen every... you know, potential deployment zone with, you know, two or three different victory conditions, then you're well on your way to understanding if there are at least obvious and fundamental problems. It's also worth noting that post, at least from my perspective, post Malifaux, a lot of Games Workshop games started to introduce their open war decks. So you can get a open war deck for Age of Sigmar, one for one for 40,000. There's one for Adeptus Titanicus. I'm sure there are other ones for their skirmish games as well, where you deal out from a little deck of things. It's like, here's the deployment zone, here's the special rule, here's the, you know, objectives, blah, blah, blah.
It was interesting to me in that long before sort of random objectives became super popular in like Warhammer Fantasy Battle, the tournament Warhammer Fantasy Battle games all had random objectives to them. Because so you say it gives you the opportunity to differentiate between different players to a higher degree.
What do you mean by that? Differentiate between different players?
I mean, as in when you line up with the, because the standard Warhammer Fantasy Battle tournament is pitch battle, and by the time you get to net listing and everybody knowing what everybody is taking, the meta very quickly grows stale, even with the constant turnover of army books that Warhammer and GW have.
Right, which is, so that's a super interesting thing where it's like checkers might be quite deep, but it's not very complicated. But without the random setup, you end up with a predictable, you know, from two players playing the meta, as it were, they've read the checkers books, they know the openings, they know the closings, like they know the meta super well. And so you end up with a fairly stale gaming environment. And so it's exactly the same thing here, where it's like, well, in order to shape the fizzy drink up, in order to make sure that all of those combinations are somehow, and it's, I guess it's really the same with things like Magic or Netrunner, having like reserved card lists where you have to put your finger on the meta. But in this case, I think it's about how directly at the table can you influence that setup so that it goes from, I can bring a bunch of information and research to the table, but I can never have 100% certainty what the game is going to be like when it begins.
Yeah, and I think what I think is super interesting actually about the checkers example you gave is that we're all quite familiar with the idea of scenarios, and I think we're increasingly quite familiar with the idea of sort of randomized scenarios. But even with sort of randomized scenarios where you get different objectives and different deployment zones, you still fundamentally stay in your deployment zone and you have control over where your unit is going to be at the start of the game. And in many ways, that would be sort of the equivalent in checkers to, you'd pull out the card and it says, all right, take off the back row of checkers on both sides. That would be a checker scenario. The fact that they decided to do it by saying you set up normally and then you make some randomly determined moves, which are obviously going to be quite asymmetrical in their nature, I think is interesting, because that's not something that I'm aware of any game saying that you do. Okay, well, our version of a sort of a mixed up scenario thing is you set up as a normal pitched battle and then you randomly move some of your units forward, or you randomly fire with some of your units at random other units, or random, you know, that this thing didn't turn up or such like.
And I think it's right, and that removal of agency, like, I think it would potentially feel quite strange to be like, I wasn't going to run my dogs over there. I wasn't going to shoot that with my crossbowman. But you and I have both talked a lot about how utterly delightful we find random setup in Malifaux, because it just creates this immediate tension. And I love it so much that I just stole it wholeheartedly for the like underpinnings of the deployment system in A Billion Suns. And so I guess the random setupness of like why couldn't you have a system where we essentially just draw a few cards and it says, like, you know, a random unit has to move forward 6 inches, or a random unit has to, you know, return to home base, or is incapacitated for the first turn or something.
And I think what I suspect is that if you gave somebody a scenario that said, randomly select one of your units, that unit has to go on this spot here, and then set up everything else normally, they'd be fairly comfortable with it. But if you gave me where it's set up normally, and then one of your units randomly moves forward a certain distance, and the exact same thing was recreated, I think that people would have more of a problem with it. I think possibly it's a sort of, you know, competence within a system question. That's a psychological thing that just feels, no, that's that's not right the way that happened. It feels discombobulating, which I would argue is possibly the whole point of doing one of these things, is to make somebody feel off balance at the start of the game. And that's what
I mean, there's an element, I suppose, of like when you have sort of drop pod deployment, jump pack deployment, you know, arriving from lightning bolts deployment in Warhammer games. Like, I guess there's a world in which that becomes an expression of this, which is like, I'm trying to deploy my stuff, but it always scatters and is essentially scattering a similar way of creating this random setup in the force deployment.
I mean, it's curious how quickly players become comfortable with, I mean, talking about Malifaux, and there is a terrifying number of combinations available in Malifaux, but at the same time, you know, good Malifaux players become extremely comfortable with the range of options and setups available, and have, like, you know, sets of plans and ideas and ways of dealing with any sort of given collection of options. You know, in one of those ways that human beings are very good at and also very, very bad at a lot of the time, sort of simultaneously.
And it makes me want to make like a smaller scale chessboard where there's a random objective. It's not just capture the king, and then you're only allowed like you may be 11 chess pieces, but you can choose whatever you want based on like.
I'm not a chess player really, but
Chexpert.
Isn't that like Bobby Fischer's like Nightmare Chess? Sort of does that in a way. It randomizes the setup, and I do think Alessio Calvatori did a version of chess where you could buy you had pointed pieces.
Nice.
You could have asymmetrical chess forces. I definitely remember him doing that, like just after he left GW.
Love it. I want to see it.
So it is out there. Yeah, I think it's. I think a certain amount of it sort of is about what players would be comfortable with, but
I'm never concerned with that.
I think it's very interesting. I mean, I rebel against the idea of set deployment zones sort of whenever I come across them. I just don't like them. I don't, you know, they make me feel very unhappy. And I think that those are, for me, one of the big things that makes the sort of the systems of a game a little bit stagnant. You know, that there is a definite sort of, you're going to be there, I'm going to be there. There's a lot of turns where everything happens the same way every single time.
And I think that there's elements to which, like, you know, ambush moves and ambush deployments and, you know, outrider sort of pre-movements, like all of that is reaching towards some of this, but because it's totally within the player's control, it still fits inside this, like, well, it's just a predictable part. It's a literally predictable part of the meta. I can always make the same move in the same way at the beginning of each game. Whereas like a random setup in general takes some agency away from the players. For me, in a great way, because I'm a dyed-in-the-wool pickup player of most games, and one of the reasons I love a procedural setup is that I can sit down at the table and just be like, what are we doing? Oh, roll some dice. Oh, there's a game, brilliant, let's go, without having to pre-plan it for a week.
Yes, ideally the less agency that everybody has at the tabletop, the better you seem to perform.
I'm not here to win these things. I'm only here
thank goodness. I think it's a very interesting idea to, I think, approach the idea of having your normal setup and then throwing a spanner sort of into the works, which I think is a much less sort of regularly occurring way of dealing with this. And I think that people would, I genuinely wonder, because it's like, I always remember High Elves in Warhammer used to have a rule called Intrigue at Court. And what Intrigue at Court was that you didn't get to pick who your general was. You had to roll a dice and number all your characters from left to right. And like, if you got one of the characters, that's who the general would be. And if you missed, you got to pick the character. And High Elf players went just hated this rule more than anything. They were obsessed over it. It upset them so badly. Every time you ever played them, they banged on and on and on about it. Nobody else was even aware of the rule. It was such a sort of like, so what, you've got to roll a dice to see if your leadership is 9 or 10. Oh, you poor, poor baby. How will you ever
manage? Right, but there was something more psychological at play.
It's very much a psychological thing. It was a tiny rule that barely ever mattered and barely ever changed anything in any game, but it absolutely went right into the soul of players, you know, brainstems, and just messed with them. And I think that's the thing. I think I would love to see a game that dared to have you like set up your pieces and then say, okay, randomly that one shoves forward or that one moves backwards.
Yeah, and I think you know the place that you'd naturally head would be find some very thematic reason for that to happen. Either there's something happening with the with the troops or the miniatures, or the battlefield is undulating or unpredictable in some way. Like, you know, the classic fantasy scenario is like, you know, the army's riding in and you don't know exactly who's arriving on which flank because everyone's rushing to the thing. But like, from a pure like, would it work for every game in every situation? Maybe not. Maybe you couldn't make the story work satisfactorily, but in some cases, I'm certain you could.
I mean, I think you could make, you know, with like, you know,
I mean, hell, with a sailing game.
Yeah, I think there'd be lots of arguments for it. Like a mass battle game, you know. Oh, it's odd that we've managed to line up in an exact perfect line on both sides of the tabletop. Wouldn't you think that one of these edges of the line would shift forward slightly or go off kilter? Well, here's an explanation for that. Obviously, a sailing game, you've drifted to the one direction or another.
There's tides adrift and wind, yeah.
And then, you know, with a squad-based game, you know, the squads tend to have more personal agency as to what they're reacting to within the moment than a strictly regimented army. So I think there's lots of, like, kayfabe reasons for the thing happening. I think you know, throw a spanner at your players and watch them cry. It's a good thing to mix it up and make sure that people don't get too comfortable, particularly in the setup phase. I think that one of the best places to mess with people is in the setup phase, because you can have as many clunky rules because everyone's got the rule book in their hand during the setup phase. And then if you've messed with them then, and they don't have to remember everything, every single turn, I'd rather have 10 weird rules in a setup phase than one that I have to remember every shooting phase or combat phase. Mess around with those ideas, mix up the options, put people off balance. It's a good thing.
Nice.
Right, I think with that we will roll up this conversation. If you like making people unhappy and off balance, why not drop into the comments section and tell us the last person you pushed over without warning in the street? Don't push people over without warning in the street; it's a bad thing. Go to the comments section, and while you're down there, hit a like and subscribe. It will be unexpected and shocking to us, but it will make us joyful and happy.
And if you have played Checkers competitively, tell us about it, because I didn't even know it was a thing. So I'm delighted to discover it.
Yes, you know, almost everything gets played competitively. I hadn't heard of cornhole until last week. A game of a pro cornhole popped up on one of my feeds. So I was just like, none of these words are appropriate to each other. Drop into the Discord and tell us about a game.
Your passion for cornhole.
Your passion for cornhole. Drop into the Discord and tell us about a game that sort of subverts your expectations and messes with your setup plans in a way that delights you whenever you play it. For now, though, I think it's going to be a thank you and goodbye from us. So thank you and goodbye. Bye-bye.